Baraboo.
CBS News special report. Officials in Maine say police divers will enter a river in Lewiston today near the spot where the suspect in Wednesday's mass shooting, Army Reservist Robert Clark, is believed to have left his white Subaru. State Safety Commissioner Mike Soschuk.
So I'm not seer saying that the suspect, we know the suspect is in the water and this is what we're doing. What I'm telling you is you're going to see a lot of activity here.
The search has been expanded from New York to Canada. Police Chief David St-Pierre.
A tremendous amount of law enforcement manpower, time, and effort is being utilized around the clock, literally around the clock, in every effort to apprehend the suspect as well as to safeguard this community.
A shelter-in-place order is still in effect in and around Lewiston. Safety Commissioner Soschuk says identification of the 18 victims is continuing. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than $388 million worth of key construction projects around Wisconsin are getting the green light from the State Building Commission. They include new buildings and upgrades at state parks, prisons, universities, and other state-owned buildings. There'll be security improvements at Tachita Women's Prison. Work will also get started on a new Wisconsin History Center on Madison's Capitol Square. Tomorrow is Prescription Drug Take-Back Day in Wisconsin. People who have old prescription drugs sitting around can bring them to one of 140 events happening around the state. There are also almost 500 drop boxes where people can leave their old medicines anytime. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin is consistently one of the national leaders in the safety effort, and it makes a difference. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Menominee man has been charged with three counts of sexual assault of a student by a staff member. According to a WQOW report, Quentin Williams was a paraeducator at Menominee High School who is accused of having an inappropriate relationship with a student. Investigators say the victim claims they started talking over Snapchat. They also say Williams provided her with alcohol, and a video appears to show the two of them in Williams' bedroom. Williams denied having a sexual relationship with the student. Proposed legislation in the Wisconsin State Assembly would stop colleges and universities from reducing the financial aid given to students who receive private scholarships. State Representative Shea Sortwell proposed the bill and calls the practice of scholarship displacement unfair to students. The bill would end scholarship displacement for students who receive scholarships of $5,000 or less from an external source. The bill has gone through a committee and will head to the Assembly floor. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Packers host the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers face the Minnesota Vikings Sunday at noon at Lambeau Field. Now, although the Vikings star receiver Justin Jefferson is on injured reserve, quarterback Kirk Cousins has found a new favorite target, rookie first-round pick Jordan Addison. Matt LaFleur.
Well, he's a guy that just studying him coming out of college that everybody was pretty excited about. I think he's a dynamic threat down the field. Obviously developed a pretty good rapport with Kirk.
College football. Wisconsin hosts undefeated Ohio State tomorrow night, kickoff at 6:30. Badgers quarterback Braden Locke says they need to play like they did last week against Illinois.
And I think in the fourth quarter we did a great job of that. You know, Braylon ran hard all night. Will made a great catch. Skylar Bell made a great catch.
NBA. The Bucks won their season opener 118-117 against the 76ers. Giannis had 23, but says that Damian Lillard's 39 points made the difference.
We have a guy that allows us and takes us to a different level.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy right away this morning. We'll see a little off and on sunshine here through the afternoon. Our high in the low 50s this morning. We're going to drop into the upper 30s to low 40s by late this afternoon. So today is a big transition day. Tonight, 29. Tomorrow, cloudy with some snow showers in the afternoon and a high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. Okay. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
As so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattinair.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, October 27th. Greg Bach is on the board. Carol Kane, my friend and colleague, live with me in studio in downtown Waukesha. We got all kinds of things coming up today. We're going to have a busy show.
It is kind of a mixed bag, so it's going to be fun, though, you know?
Absolutely. We're going to have an update with Andy Gus from Grassroots Menominee Falls.
I'm really looking forward to this because I want to know what happened during that meeting.
There was a meeting of the Menominee Falls School District on Monday where parents spoke for and against the removal of certain books from schools. There were 33 titles that were removed. So Andy's going to join us coming up at 10:33 to give us an update with what happened at Monday night's meeting. We're going to have a little quiz right before the top of the hour, this hour.
Okay.
I came up with a list of 2023 politically inspired Halloween costumes, and I'm going to describe the costumes to you and Greg, and of course to you listening at home, and then you have to guess who it is.
Okay.
It's going to be easy.
Oh, sure. That's what you said the last time, the last quiz, and I failed miserably.
Well, we'll see how you do.
Okay.
But right. I won wonderfully.
Yes, I know.
You did win wonderfully.
There's that salt in that wound. Thanks.
In hour number two, we're going to talk about some of the most haunted places in Wisconsin, some of the most haunted places around the world.
Right,
as
right.
We head into Halloween weekend, I know at least in our neighborhood, they have trick-or-treat tonight. In Waukesha, it's actually going to be on Halloween next Tuesday.
Well, isn't that a nice idea? Mine's on.
You don't know.
I don't really know.
You better check
on
that.
I'm going to have to check it out, but I'll put money at Sunday. Usually it's Sunday afternoon from like 4 until 7.
What do you do when they ring the doorbell? Because you have a sign on your door that says don't ring the doorbell.
Well, to tell you the truth, I leave the door open so the screen is there so I can hear them coming up, and they'll, you know, and then I hear the trick or treat and but you know, still Beauregard's not good with that. He's just not good at it, and
he's doing his job.
Well, he can cool his jets for just one afternoon. but you know, he's such a good dog. He just sounds vicious.
Scary. Yeah.
So
and he's a bigger boy. So right. Sure.
So
all right. That's all coming up. Right now, though, we're going to start off with this. And I saw this right away this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in an article from Alec Johnson. The headline reads, rumors say Waukesha North High School is closing. The Waukesha School District denies it.
Okay.
So apparently these rumors have been going around since the beginning of the summer, even before June, when the school board's Finance and Facilities Committee met to talk about the district's middle and high school enrollment. Waukesha School District Communication Specialist Mary Jo King says, we don't know who or why these rumors started. North is not closing, and there haven't been any additional conversations around it.
Wasn't it kind of like presented after they decided to consolidate a couple of...
the middle schools.
Right.
They closed Whittier Elementary and merged it with Hatfield Elementary.
Right.
That was in March of 2022. And then in September of 2022, the district sold off a couple of buildings to Carroll University.
Okay.
And there is an issue with enrollment because enrollments across the country is down for schools.
But we're not having the family sizes that we used to have.
It's like too expensive.
Right. No, trust me.
Yeah.
I only had two children. My mom and dad, I'm one of four. So, you know, and I know a lot of people that have opted just for one.
Yeah.
So it's just a natural progression that the enrollment is going to go down.
Yeah, for sure. Again, according to this article in today's JS Online, the district's, this is again, Waukesha School District's total high school enrollment overall is down from a little over 3,600 in 2017 to 18 to 3,300 for 2022-2023.
Okay.
And that is projected, the enrollment projected to continue going down through 2030. Two of the district's three high schools, Waukesha North and Waukesha South, also showed declines. Waukesha North down from 1,172 students 2017 to 18, down to 1,015 students.
Okay.
Waukesha South down from 937 to 890. Waukesha West a little bit higher. They actually went from 1,175 in 2017 to 18 to 1,195 in 2022-23. And at least in this article, it notes that maybe one of the reasons why West is attracting more families is because there's been more building going on that side of the city.
Okay.
Yeah, that area of Waukesha, that's actually around the area I grew up in. And
did you go to North?
No, I went to Catholic Memorial. Okay. I would have went to North, but then once West was built, I would have been districted into West. But where I grew up along Sunset here in Waukesha, it used to be a soccer field and a big warehouse, and now it is literally like 100 stores, like a Target, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Wow.
It's a little off-putting when you drive past it because it doesn't look like what you were used to when you were growing up, but that area has blown up over the past 15 years.
So that would explain the enrollment.
Oh, yeah.
The enrollment numbers. Again, this article in today's journal, Sentinel, the high schools are not at the level where Whittier and Hatfield elementary schools were when they decided to combine those two.
Okay.
The two schools were only running at 42% of capacity. We have a gap of 944 kids at the high school level in terms of capacity. But it just sounds like they're trying to reassure folks that North, at least right now, there are not plans to close North High School here in Waukesha. Don't panic.
Let's not panic quite yet, you know. But I understand that, you know, if like in my neck of the woods, if the high school, because my kids went to Homestead.
Right.
And if that's the only game in town, actually. So if all of a sudden the rumor mill had started, I'd be like, holy
crap. Now what
are
we going to do?
Where am I going to send the kids?
Right. And you're going to panic. And yeah, so don't panic. Again, at least as of today, they are saying they are not closing.
Do they give any breakdown as to the ages? Like, is it one particular, are they seeing attrition in one particular age group? Like, the freshmen or the sophomores, or it doesn't say.
It's not broken down to that level, but it's just overall enrollments just everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just a Waukesha problem. It's a statewide problem. It's a nationwide problem.
Yeah.
Because fewer people are having lots of kids. Like you said, I'm the last of six.
Right.
And I just don't think that there are that many families anymore that have that many children.
I know one person that has five. And he's probably, I think he's Liz's age, right around 34.
Really?
Yeah, he's got five, which I thought was very interesting, but it was a blended family.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a blended family. So I don't know, outside of that situation, nobody for me, had any more than two.
Yeah.
Really? Nobody had more than two. And like, I mean, even when you cross over into college, you know, what I spent for my kids for college education was just obscene.
Then think about what it is now.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I remember going to, and it's no slight, because Alex went to MSOE, so he picked a private college, but he had a job when he got out. But when we went to another college that's downtown, and this kid was walking out in the front and couldn't give us the orientation, and I was sitting next to this dad who had his daughter, and this kid stands up in front of all of us, and he goes, we'd like you to plan for 45. And I went, I turned to this guy, and I go, 1,000?
Oh, Carol.
A year? And he kind of looked at me, and I go, usually I get a cocktail before that happens to me.
When I went to CMH, I know for a fact it was like a grand to go there a year. This is back in the 90s, $1,000. They actually had a deal. I think if you had four kids, your fifth kid was free.
That's hilarious.
But
that is.
Now CMH's tuition is more than most UW state schools.
Oh, I don't
double
doubt
on,
it.
Double on some of them.
I don't doubt it.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY if you want to check in with us. Our friend Greg from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, Jane. Hey, Carol. So one of two in my family that went to Waukesha North, I graduated in 96, so that's showing my age a little bit. But if there's one school, and I don't want to, you know, I've always said don't contribute to the rumor mill. I was signed up to go to West. Now, I was signed up to go to West because I'm totally blind. But then West, North is actually my home school.
Okay.
But the reason they wanted me to go to West because they thought it was going to be more disability accessible. But West had been under construction for the first few years that I had went to high school. So I had went to North. And I'm glad that I went to North. I just want to say, you know, there are some other factors at play here too, though, like the sports conferences. You know, I think some of the Waukesha teams are merging. Like Waukesha South didn't even have enough players
to field a team. Yeah.
To field a team this year. So, like, something has to be done. And if there's one high school to go, I'm sad to say, as a North alum, North is kind of, I mean, they've done a lot of renovations, but that might be the one that, you know, ends up going. But
we'll have to wait and see what happens, Greg, because again, right now the school administrators say everything's fine. Don't panic. North isn't closing. Again, that's according to an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so much for calling, Greg, and always thank you so much for listening. And Dave from the Shaw is on the line. Dave, we only got about a minute and a half. What do you want to say?
Hey, I just wanted to say I had a meeting with the superintendent of Waukesha Schools about a year ago, and this rumor has been going on for well more than just this summer, even before last year. And he had told me that that all options were on the table as far as closing. So I don't necessarily believe what's reported in the news. I think if they want to close the school, it'll be North. But I think this is more indicative of the sign of the times of public schools closing.
Thank you so much, Dave. We really appreciate it. We're coming up against the break. I hope you can stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people.
It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. We have Greg Bach on the board, Carol Kane with me in studio in downtown Waukesha, and you at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY if you ever want to call and or text in. Big game tomorrow.
Yes.
For our Badgers. It's a night game too, and it's going to be on It's going to be on NBC.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a big
fancy
deal.
I know. Under the big lights, hosting number 3, Ohio State. Ohio State has won 5 league titles since 2014. We will see what happens. And it's also, I guess what jumped out at me was, it's also Halloween weekend in Madison.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Okay.
Yaha.
It's going to be crazy.
Pure chaos.
Did you ever do State Street for Halloween?
Yes, I did.
I had a feeling you did.
I was going to say I'm self-incriminating myself. But yeah, we were so irresponsible. But this was like 1976, 1977.
Oh, wow.
That's when
were you a freshman in college?
Yes, I was a freshman and a sophomore in college.
Okay,
yeah, because I was really young when I started. I was 17 when I started there.
All right.
The one year, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, everybody's in the sexy witch or the sexy this or whatever. And I took a balloon and I made this huge paper mache head. And I had, I know.
Go
Jane,
ahead. Continue. I'm just trying.
I'm already loving this.
I'm trying to get the visual in my head.
I took wire and I made big mouse ears.
Okay.
So I painted my face like a mouse. And then I took a sheet and made like this big. And then I this tail, and I had white gloves, and
wow!
So yeah, I was going all in.
Creative.
I
don't know.
I'm impressed.
Well, I looked ridiculous.
That's the
and
whole
the thing
point.
Is the whole thing was, I remember trying to get into like a bar, and they were crammed, and I'm like, I'm banging this head into everybody, and it's just like, this is so silly, so silly. But yeah, that's the one I really remember. But State Street on Halloween, you did it, right?
Yeah, we did. And I was in my 20s, so I have no excuse. I can't blame it on youth. Yeah, we went from Milwaukee to Madison.
It's a destination, for sure.
It is a destination. And we did spend the night somewhere.
Someone's yard?
Some car somewhere, I think. But I just remember what we... Because he dressed, my good friend Leno, dressed up as the Pope, and I dressed up as a devil.
Oh,
and
okay.
So that was our
typecasting.
Yeah, it seemed on brand.
Typecasting.
But I love that you avoided the whole because I hate the whole sexy everything.
Yeah,
sexy witch, sexy kitten, sexy mouse, sexy,
whatever.
My friend in Chicago called me once. She goes, "I found the winner of all of those things." And I said, "What did you see?" She goes, "I saw a woman dressed as a sexy potato."
How do you sex up a spud?
I don't know, but that's funny.
That starch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, baby.
Maybe like a sexy Mrs. Potato Head, I could see.
Nope, just like a big potato.
Okay. In all its potato-ness.
Yes, yes.
Well, I wish them well. The Buckeyes have always been tough.
This is going to be tough.
And I think, aren't the Buckeyes their favorite, aren't they? I think they might be.
Yeah, I believe they're.
And the Badgers, they've got to play like they did last week if they want to make any headway whatsoever. That's just a hands down fact.
Is it about winning or is it about not just getting crushed? Like if they walk away, if the score is like 27-24, is Wisconsin going to be like, Well, it could have been worse.
Can always be worse.
It can, yeah, it can always be worse. But I think the mindset is when you bleed red and white, I think the that's Ohio State too. They're red and white, so it's going to be red and white everywhere. But the thing is, when you bleed red and white for Madison, you want to win.
Yeah, of course.
That's it. It's not about, you know, if we were crushed or whatever. You want to win.
No matter how you get there.
Versus right. UW-Milwaukee, we don't so much bleed black and yellow. We just, it's like a paper cut. And we're like, oh, we had a basketball team? I had no idea. Oh. No idea.
Oh.
I mean, UW-Madison has no problem telling us Panthers that we are not the Badgers at any chance they get.
That's true.
Well, there is
some disdain, I feel.
Well, it's almost like we don't care about it. Like, you're like, oh, we're the Badgers. I'm like, that's great. My schooling is just as cool as you.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. But one thing that I would say the Badgers come in second to, I'd have to go with the Whitewater Warhawks, because they've brought home so many championships, and that's in all sports.
Oh, wow.
That's in all sports. Now, it's a different division,
yes,
for sure. But the fact of the matter is that brought it, and they've won it, and they can hold that over the Badgers' head and go,
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I can't hear you from all of this trophy.
Yeah, exactly.
Trophies are so loud.
Exactly. All these trophies. But I would say that they come in second to somebody like the Warhawks, but it's going to be nuts.
It is going to be nuts.
Wait till you see the costumes at the game.
Oh, I bet.
You know, people will come dressed up to go to the game, and then they'll hit the bars down after they're done.
That sounds like madness.
It really does sound like madness. So prepare yourselves. And I guess the one thing, too, because it's going to be cooling off considerably
today,
as the day goes on today. So tomorrow night, it's going to be chilly. So make sure you're wearing a nice, warm something over your sexy kitten outfit, because otherwise you're going to freeze.
Never happen.
That's always such a buzzkill, isn't it?
I know.
Especially when you were a kid. You're all dressed up and you're so excited and your mom's wrapping you up in your winter coat and a scarf. It's like, well, what's the point?
No one can tell I'm a princess now.
No, exactly.
I know.
Well, exactly.
Speaking of Halloween costumes, coming up at 10 minutes before 11 o'clock, I have a 2023 politically inspired Halloween costume quiz.
I can't wait for
this.
And
you can play along at home. I will describe the costume, and then you have to tell me who it is.
Okay.
It's going to be pretty.
Okay.
It's a sexy potato congressperson.
Yeah.
Who do we
yeah.
know from Idaho? Yeah.
Oh, I wish I knew an Idahoan.
And coming up shortly, Andy Gus is going to be joining us from Grassroots Menominee Falls. There was a big school board meeting on Monday night with parents both pro and con on the removal of 33 books from the school. So Andy's going to give us an update on what happens with that. I hope you can stick around for that next hour at 10:33 on Milwaukee.com's. Matt Miller will be joining us. It's a Halloween-y kind of season, so we're going to talk about scary movies, old and new.
I love it.
And which ones stand the test of time? And I know you like scary
movies. I'm checking out on this one.
Scary movies.
All right. Well, that's all coming up. Stay with us. We will be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People in Wisconsin can expect heating bills to go down by as much as 21%. That's according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. A spike in gas prices made last winter the most expensive ever for home heating. Even with the price drop, the Journal Sentinel reports this winter is still shaping up to be the third most expensive on record. Actual heating bills will depend on the weather and other factors. The Wisconsin Task Force on Childhood Obesity turns its attention to diet and exercise today. Doctors with the Wisconsin Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics and SSM Health are testifying today in Milwaukee. So are officials from the YMCA. The task force is looking for new tools, laws, or grants that can help with the public health challenges caused by obesity. I'm Terry Bell. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. According to the 2022 End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin Homicide Report, domestic violence deaths are on the rise in Wisconsin. The report found 96 people were killed in a domestic violence homicide in 2022, a 20% increase over the 2021 number. It also found that one in every six domestic violent deaths in the United States happens in Wisconsin. Local police officers across the state have been training to identify the threat of domestic violence when they respond to 911 calls. The Chippewa County Board released a statement regarding the investigation into Sheriff Travis Hakes today. In the statement, the county board attempted to clarify what they called confusion and misinformation about the process of the investigation, saying the appropriate legal process has been followed and the county board itself does not have the power to remove Sheriff Hakes. The statement comes weeks after Sheriff Hakes presented his own counter-investigation at the October 10th county board meeting. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Packers host the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers face the Minnesota Vikings Sunday at noon at Lambeau Field. Now, although the Vikings star receiver Justin Jefferson is on injured reserve, quarterback Kirk Cousins has found a new favorite target, rookie first-round pick Jordan Addison. Matt LaFleur.
Well, he's a guy that just studying him coming out of college that everybody was pretty excited about. I think he's a dynamic threat down the field. Obviously developed a pretty good rapport with Kirk.
College football. Wisconsin hosts undefeated Ohio State tomorrow night, kickoff at 6:30. Badgers quarterback Braden Locke says they need to play like they did last week against Illinois.
And I think in the fourth quarter, we did a great job of that. You know, Braylon ran hard all night. Will made a great catch. Skylar Bell made a great catch.
NBA, the Bucks won their season opener 118-117 against the 76ers. Giannis had 23, but says that Damian Lillard's 39 points made the difference.
We have a guy that allows us and takes us to a different level.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better
mostly
way to
mostly cloudy
say
right
jealous.
Away this morning. We'll see a little off and on sunshine here through the afternoon. Our high in the low 50s this morning. We're going to drop into the upper 30s to low 40s by late this afternoon. So today is a big transition day. Tonight, 29, tomorrow cloudy with some snow showers in the afternoon and a high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 46.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Well, Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, 1034. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Carol Kane with me in studio in downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder, if you are missing Kristen, and we're all missing Kristen, she is with us every Wednesday
at
1033.
Okay.
And so we do a little check-in with her and a little check-in with the baby, little Frankie Lou, who just turned a month old yesterday.
She probably really appreciates that because I've been a mom, and I still am. It's not like I'm dead. But you know, when you are home alone with an infant, you need some interaction with an adult.
Someone
Let's put
who
it
can speak
way.
To you, right? Someone
right.
who can respond.
Right, yep. Exactly.
So make sure you join us on Wednesdays, every Wednesday at 10:30 until Kristen comes back from maternity leave. We talked about this last week, and I'm so glad to have our guest back. Andy Guss is with Grassroots Menominee Falls. Good morning, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me back again.
Absolutely. We had you on when it was first announced, the 33 books that had been pulled from some classrooms or at least banned from certain ages of students.
Right.
33 different titles. But on Monday night, there was a school board meeting, Andy, and I assume you were there. And we had parents speaking both for and against this removal of these books. How did you think the evening went?
I thought the evening, it was a packed house at Village Hall. There was over 40 speakers, public speakers that spoke during open comment. There was a lot more. There was about 30 in favor of, as in keeping the books on the shelves, compared to 10 that were supporting the book ban. And so it was a good opportunity for the community, the school board, to hear what the community, what people thought and what their opinions were on the potential book bans and what it meant for students moving forward.
Was there at least an air of civility with the speakers, or did things get a little heated, or tell me, read the room.
You know, it was interesting to start. It was, you know, definitely a mixture of people in that room, but everyone remained civil. The only time that it really was exciting is when the school board president, we typically have open comment and the period length is 3 minutes. So everybody prepared for a 3 minute speech during open comment, and they motioned it to move it from 3 minutes to 2 minutes with no announcement. They just did it right in the middle of the meeting. So everybody was, you know, who
scrambling.
Scrambling, you know, I cut out some material that I had planned to just to make sure that I could cover within 2 minutes. So that definitely brought up some uproar, and the school board president did threaten to cancel the public comment, which would have really, that's the only reason we all were there, because it wasn't on the docket for discussion that evening.
Oh, that would have gone over really well.
Yeah, that would have been awful. But I, you know what, I kind of understand, because You know how it's human nature, Andy. You go up there and you're expecting to do three, and all of a sudden you got the Jamoke before you goes on for seven. You know, it's just you have to kind of rein it in a little bit.
But I don't think it's fair that they dropped this on them in the middle of this and said, oh, by the way, for the rest of you, now you have to go down to 2 minutes.
No, you have to keep it standard. If you said three to begin with, you got to keep it at three.
You got to keep it at three.
You want for the next meeting, you want two, make it two.
But I'm really happy to hear that for the most part, Andy, that it was civil and, you know, people weren't threatening each other or shouting at each other. That's at least a small move
right.
in the right direction.
Right. I thought it went well. Everyone got to speak. Like I said, there was over 40 speakers. Everyone listened to everyone, you know, I wouldn't say that there was no clapping allowed, but we brought signs that would say I agree or clap. So it was, you know, and there was tons of spirit fingers in the background, shall you say.
Okay.
as people came back.
Okay. I want to hear what, give me kind of a Cliff Notes version of what you heard, pro and con.
Sure. So, I mean, really the con was they got up there and started reading passages of the books. So when they were reading passages of the books, they were just reading those small clippets, and not getting the whole context of the book, except one person did go a little bit too far and told us the context of what was happening in the book. So that was kind of funny. But they went up there, you know, in the con, and then the pro was really about, you know, about how it affects the students, really the community, and what it means to be represented by these books and these characters in the stories.
And it's from what I understand, Andy, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of this is about, I mean, a lot of it, most of it's about sex and sexual content. Is that accurate?
I would say that's inaccurate. Yep, absolutely. And a lot of the authors, you know, are women authors, and so that's also something of our focus as well.
So a lot of the, you're saying that a lot of these authors are female authors who are writing about sex.
Correct.
Okay. See, some of the books that were on the list, I'm not familiar with, you know. I mean, I'll just be perfectly honest with you. I would have to, like, go and investigate and read them. But I agree with you in the fact that you can't take little, you can't cherry pick. You can't do that kind of stuff.
It's real easy to craft an argument over cherry picked information.
Right, you're going to pick the most salacious part of the whole book, and that you're negating the whole book by just one little passage. That's when you step in as a parent or a teacher, and you go, "Let's discuss this passage."
Absolutely, no, I completely agree. And even at the meeting, there was a pastor that was passing out Bible. Phrases. And he said, look, if you take these out of phrases, look how bad these, if you take these out of context,
wow,
look at how these look. Are you going to ban the Bible next? I mean, that was really, it was an interesting argument. And he had about 10 different examples of how the Bible did it. You know, and so it all matters about how you read it in the context. And if there's, you know, there's the passage in the book, and that's when you have to sit down as a parent and parent your kid.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Like Carol said, and you sit down and say, let's talk about this chapter, or let's talk about, you know, these next couple of paragraphs. Andy Guss is our guest. He's with Grassroots Menominee Falls and was at the meeting on Monday night when they were discussing the 33 books that have been banned or banned from certain age groups. Andy, the last time that we talked to you, you had mentioned that it seemed like there were issues with the process and how the process played out. Was that addressed at all?
Yes, the village board, the school board president Nina Christensen did come out, and also the superintendent with two different statements, kind of relating back to policy their policy statement with 365, but we find that there's still, you know, the policy clearly states that it only covers, you know, removal when there's no longer used or needed. So there's still some policy questions and some discrepancies even in between their statements.
Okay, how was that received? Was that okay with most of the people?
I don't think it went over as well as they thought, because I think with between the two statements and looking at the policies and how they read, I don't think a lot of people agreed with what the district came out with.
Okay, so what's the end game now here? Where are we going from here?
So really what we're waiting for is, for our next steps, is we're waiting to really fill in the blanks from what we know with open record requests. Now, we have 12 open record requests currently open with the school district that have been unfulfilled. Now, some of these open record requests are dated over 60 days old. So we have been working with the district to get these. You know, we've been trying to set up dates on when we can receive these open record requests, but they've been really non-responsive. And that only tells me one thing, that there's something there that we're asking for that they don't, that they're getting more information on, and we're just patiently waiting for these open record requests so that we can move forward in the next direction.
It certainly doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, because you would think, if everything is good, here's everything you asked for, there should be no problem. And if they're going to continue to delaying, again, that has to make everybody kind of wonder what's going on there.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that's what we're wondering is, if you're going to say that you guys did the right thing in your statements, then we're just looking for the open record requests that show that.
Right.
And we think that those should be turned over in a timely manner. And most of those were requested last week and some this week, and we're still waiting.
See, there's the rub right there. They're going to extend and extend and extend. And at some point in time, you know, there's somebody sitting in a room that goes, oh, if we stall them long enough, they'll forget about it. And that's not going to be the case at all.
Absolutely not. We will not rest until we have those open record requests.
Yeah, there's way too much engagement now, which I'm really happy to see, Andy. And that must make you happy as well and other parents within the district. I am delighted to see people engaged like this and taking time out of their busy lives to show up in a meeting like this.
Right. Good point.
Because when we don't do that is when things go awry, when no one is watching and no one is getting involved. If you're just joining us, Andy Gus is our guest from Grassroots Menominee Falls, talking about the 33 books that have either been removed or moved to a different section in Menominee Falls. And among some of these 33 books, they're classics. Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five, Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye, Gregory Maguire's Wicked, and Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, also The Kite Runner that we've talked about before, which is a wonderful, wonderful book. So have they announced any other meetings on this, Andy, or are they just, like Carol said, are they just kind of hoping all these people are all going to get tired and it's going to be Christmas soon and they'll go away?
I'm guessing that that's the assumption, is that they will delay the open record requests and they'll think that their statements are good enough. But we're going to keep pressing the issue, making sure that they're following the due process, because we still don't feel the statements that they provided were not what we were looking for. And so we're going to be continuing with the open record request and finding the due process to make sure that they did follow the policies. And if they didn't, we're going to find them accountable.
So at this particular juncture, are the books gone or are they still in the library until some decision is made?
You know, that's a great question. There was a post, I saw a picture of the books on a cart because they were being sent off. And actually the person, the library, who's actually a substitute in our district, who was asked to gather all of these books, the librarian gathered the books, put them on a cart, and at that same day quit the job.
Oh my.
Yeah. So we've already had one person leave the district because of this, a librarian. And so I don't know where those books are. I do know that a reporter last week told me that they went to the dumpsters to go check them out, but they did not see them there.
I feel so badly for our librarians and our teachers and our healthcare workers and just all these people that are critically important to our society and just now are getting unbelievable amounts of crap.
Hammered? They're just hammered.
They're just getting hammered. Yeah. And it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that librarian had felt she had to quit because of this. And it also reinforces, Andy, and good for you for filing FOIAs, just how important that is. That Freedom of Information Act, that's critically important to sustaining our democracy.
Absolutely, because like you said, if nobody goes to this meeting, like if nobody was there, they can do whatever they could run in darkness. They don't have to say anything. It's not public. It's not recorded. It's not public comment. And they continue to talk about these new policies that really, at the end of the day, hurt our teachers, hurt our students. And hurt the community.
Andy, if we've got only about 30 seconds left, where can people go to find out more?
They can visit our Facebook page, Grassroots Menominee Falls area.
Okay, great.
Andy Gus has been our guest. Thank you so much, Andy. Really appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you again.
Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different.
and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
If there's something weird.
Good Friday morning. Thank you for joining us today on As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matmere in for Kristen Bry. Greg is on the board. Carol Kane with me in the studio in downtown Waukesha. And we always love to hear from you too at 844-967-2789. We're going to have a little quiz.
Okay.
And you can play along at home. And it's not who says it first. I just want to see who your guesses are.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to describe the costume, and you have to tell me the politically involved person that this is about.
Okay.
Are we ready, Greg and Carol?
I'm ready.
All right. Here's the costume. These are so easy. It's a bow tie, a little white wig, glasses, and an oversized gavel.
I can't remember his name, but the form, it's the Senate, it's the Speaker Pro Tem.
You're right.
So Patrick McHenry. So I'm going to go ahead.
That's a guy. I remember seeing him, but you know, this is the.
They're so interchangeable at this point.
Yeah.
So, well, but he will always be gavel boy to me.
Well, he's because the bow tie boy.
Do you remember when he smacked that gavel when they tossed Kevin McCarthy out?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to hurt himself.
Yeah.
The man either has a lot of anger issues or this was just a really good way for him to channel his energy.
Why not both?
Could be both.
Yeah.
Could be both. All right. Well done, Greg Bach. Here we go. Number two, 2023 politically inspired Halloween costumes. Jacket with a congressional logo. Pockets stuffed full of cash, and a couple of gold bars.
Yeah, the Democrat. What the hell's his name? See, this is where I'm going to fall down because I can't.
It's Menendez.
Yep.
Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, of course, facing numerous charges for allegedly working as a foreign agent on behalf of Egypt.
Egypt, right. See, I know all the little incidentals.
You're doing good.
Yeah, it's great. Carol, you're doing great.
Okay.
It's not a big thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
Game.
You have no idea how competitive, though, I am.
I can tell you're like basically gripping the size of that chair off.
Man alive.
Take a breath.
I'm so competitive.
Take a breath. Okay, this is one of my favorite ones. A gold dress that's too tight, a push-up bra that's too small, and a vape pen.
Oh, that is...
Marjorie?
Nope, that is Western Colorado Representative Lauren Bingo Boebert.
There you go, Lauren Betelgeuse Boebert, of course.
Okay.
Now she's famous for a little gropey session with the guy she was on a first date with.
Hey.
Betelgeuse the musical. Not that I'm being judgy or anything.
We're not here to shame people. They can have their fun whenever they want, that they're adults, but at Betelgeuse...
Who knew there were infrared cameras?
Yeah.
Nowadays. In the good old days, you could just do it in the dark at a children's theater program, and no one would know.
Oh, now you made it weird.
All right. 2023 politically inspired Halloween costumes. A crown made of popcorn and a scepter that looks like a stick of Wisconsin butter.
I mean, that's the one and only. Carol, do you know who that is?
Yeah, the guy that got into the argument.
No, you're thinking of Derek Van Orden.
Yes.
Cheese King.
Cheese King.
He is the Cheese King.
We're talking about current Speaker Assembly.
Owns a popcorn business.
Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss.
Oh, okay.
Ding, ding for me.
Crown of popcorn. Scepter looks like a stick of butter. Okay.
Zero sense of humor.
That, he's a chucklemeister deep inside. I know it.
I am terrible with names, you guys.
That's all right. Two more to go.
All right.
Two more to go. A black robe with patches that have the names of your biggest donors on them.
Well, it's obviously Supreme Court.
It's all of the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah. I see what you did there.
It's all of the Supreme Court justices. I am so annoyed by the Democratic Supremes who also sided with the Republicans and said, ethic oversight, schmethic oversight. We're fine. We police ourselves.
Harumph, harumph, harumph.
I'm telling you.
That annoys me beyond measure.
I completely agree with that.
It really does. And with every day, it just seems like we learn more and more about all the special perks these little justices get.
Mm-hmm.
$267,000 loans to buy an RV that just kind of disappear.
I'm telling you, it's once again, what do I always say? Washington corrupts, and I don't care what position you are in Washington. Washington, D.C. corrupts everybody.
I still think we should require that the justices wear patches like a NASCAR driver with their biggest sponsors.
And I'm, you know what? I have a problem with this that, hey, you're in it for life, dude.
Oh, yeah. In it for life with no oversight, and it's almost impossible to...
What could go wrong?
Yeah,
what could go wrong? That's perfect. All right. Last one. The 2023 politically inspired Halloween costumes. You really don't have to guess. Dress as yourself and say you're really GOP Representative George Santos in disguise.
GOP Representative George Santos?
George Santos.
George Santos, the guy who's lied about everything.
Right, right.
His entire resume. His family. His jobs.
Even though we got that correct. Because George Santos.
However, a little update on some George Santos news. There is a bunch of New York Republicans who filed to oust him. Right, Greg Buck?
Yes. Yeah, it seems like he could be getting... There could be expulsion hearings next week.
I got to be honest with you, though, you guys. I have to admire that he keeps swinging at it. You know, I mean, it's just like he's walking around. It's like, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. It's just one of those, la, 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 la. Leave me alone. Nothing to see over here. Oh, go look over there. And it's just the fact that he just keeps swinging at it makes me laugh.
Embrace the lie. Embrace the lies.
Yeah.
You know what you mean?
He embraces them all.
You need a timeout. You need to go and sit in the corner and turn towards the wall and just shut up for a little bit.
House of Representatives, Mother at Large, Carol Kane, call her in. She'll straighten him out. I'm telling you.
If I didn't accept it from my children, why should I accept it from you guys?
And I pay your salary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You answer to us.
My daughter said to me once, I said, did you know who the authority figure was when you were growing up? She goes, oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God, Mom.
It was you.
Well, of course it was.
Right.
Because I paid her salary.
We are coming up to the top of the hour news. Stay with us when we come back. We're going to be talking about some of the creepiest, most haunted places, not only in Wisconsin, but around the world.
Yeah.
You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to WCFW Chippewa Falls and WRPQ Baraboo.
CBS News.